Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One.
Well, we get into everything today. Mark goes ballistic on homeless, and I mean ballistic. And also we break down the transcript, which may not be accurately known as a transcript, with the Trump transcript with the Trump call to the president of Ukraine, right, Gary? Am I getting that right? So we do dive into that. We break it down. Mark weighs in on whether he would have released it or not. I'll tease that. First, true car. Every car has stories. And how do you put a price on those stories? Well, you can do that with True Car. Find out what your car's worth when it's time to sell it or trade it in. Just go to True Car, enter your plate number, and your car's details will come popping up. Then answer a few questions. Once you're finished, you get a true cash offer sent to you in minutes, which you can take to your local True Car certified dealer to cash out or trade in. So you're looking for a new car, or you're looking for some cash for your car, or you're looking for a used car. Either way, you go with True Car. When you're ready for a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car. True cash offer not available in all areas, but I bet you don't live in one of those areas. It is the best. It is True Car, everybody.
This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. No choice, but get it on. Mandate, get it on. And welcome to the best hour or so in the universe. It's Reasonable Doubt. I'm Adam Carolla. Mark Garagus in studio, everybody.
I couldn't be happier to be in studio, by the way. And what a week for legal news, huh?
Yeah.
Right? So let's break right into it. What do you think?
Yeah, so the transcript of Trump on the phone with the Ukrainian, I don't know, president, prime minister, I don't know what his title is.
I think Zelensky won the presidency, right?
I've heard about the first half of it read on talk radio. The beginning was just sort of congratulations on the win and him going right back at you. You know, we took a page out of your playbook.
Did you know that the president, do you know what his job was before becoming president, by the way?
I do.
A little fun fact. What is it?
It's delightful. He played the president for 5 years on a comedy show.
Wow.
He's a comedian.
Comedian, and he's now president of the Ukraine, and he's drawn into the impeachment inquiry. If Adam Carolla, wrote the story that you're going to play the president of Ukraine,
right,
and that you were a comedian on Crank Yankers,
right,
for 5 years, and you used to impersonate the president,
right,
and then you win the election, and the transcript is declassified by Trump. I mean, there's a lot of intersections here. And
not to mention, of course, Trump being the TV personality as well. I mean, it's kind of insane. And I guess we should just look forward to more of this. I mean, look, in 2008, I said Donald Trump is going to be the president in 2016. It's recorded. It was aired. You can listen to it on the internet.
What was the tell, as they say?
I kind of felt where he was going. I felt which way the wind was blowing. There were certain things I could tell, like when I said in 1997, Bruce Jenner's becoming a woman. And everyone else sort of said, that guy's getting too much. It looked to everyone else like he was doing some midlife crisis work, like some plastic surgery, like bad dude plastic surgery.
Right.
And I said, no, he's not trying to look younger. He's going another direction. He's not trying to look like – he's not a 55-year-old dude trying to look like a 31-year-old dude. He's a 55-year-old dude trying to look like a 40-year-old woman.
Right.
And everyone's like, what? I was like, he's turning into a woman. And everyone thought I was nuts. But I called that one, and I called Trump, and now I'm going to call Kim Kardashian for president at some point. Like, there is going to be an Armo Kardashian running this country.
She may be the first female and the first Armo. You know, it could have been George Dukmejian, but instead it may be Kim Kardashian. George turned down the vice presidency with Bush.
Trying to think of what I'd be more upset about.
The woman
female or
Arma?
Arma. Man, that's
it
tough.
Depends.
That's
depends
a tough
on
call.
Whether your other warehouse sells.
As a white privileged male, it'd be a very dark day for me.
So this is interesting. Gary Heard, what did you say this morning? He disappeared on me. CBS this morning, and he said there seemed to be nothing there. I think quite the opposite.
The transcript.
I've got the transcript here. I've read it. It's clear to me, at least, that – and by the way, what's interesting, people call it a transcript. It's not a transcript. What it is apparently what they do, they don't record it. Post-Watergate, post-70s, they don't record what's going on with the presidential phone calls. So what they do is they have people come in, and as I understand it, they have – three or four different people listening to the conversation and at the same time taking notes. Now, why they don't have a court reporter, you know, like
stenographer.
Breaking news. They have people who do this
or
for
reporter.
A living.
Or stenographer. Would they have a stenographer?
Yeah, a court stenographer. Apparently, they've got three people. Because everything is classified, you have to have a certain degree of a security clearance. You're in the Situation Room. They're listening to it. They cobble together notes. The notes then get kind of compared and contrasted, and then it produces this, which people are calling a transcript, but it's actually kind of a note-taking summary of the call.
If you went into court with this notion, and this was Trump was your client,
right?
Could you successfully argue away this isn't a transcript? This is three people's take on what was said. We don't know how accurate it is.
Exactly what you would argue is that this could not come in, that this is a report, that this report is multiple levels of hearsay and therefore should not come into evidence.
Right. And now you would know, I think most people that were neutral would say, look, you got three people with a classified, you know, with a high classification, security classification. They're sober. They're reporting the notes.
Right.
So this is going to be, if not exactly what was said, pretty damn close. Certainly the gist of it would be. But then you would argue, hold on, those three people could have had an agenda.
Well, they could. Number one, they could have had an agenda. They could have bias. And by the way, in a post-Scalia-Crawford world, you're going to say, if this was used against Trump, if there was going to be U.S. versus Trump at some proceeding and you tried to introduce this, you would, under Crawford, which is the right to confrontation, which is based on the Confrontation Clause, you would say this does not come in because it's testimonial and I want to be able to cross-examine who heard it coming in. I don't understand, and I don't have the full context. There's a number of things that pop up immediately to me, which I don't get. And from a – let's just take this as me. If this is a client and the client comes to me and says, this is – I've got this. I've got this kind of document.
How many pages?
And this document
five.
Is five pages. Mm-hmm. And the client says, do we want to turn this over? Pretend it's a criminal investigation. Do I want to turn this over? And it's no longer pretend. There's an impeachment inquiry, and so there is an investigation. And the investigation is going to be by Democrats in the House. If I'm advising Trump, do I want to turn this over? I would say, looking at this, I can say or I can stand on some privilege. I can stand on some other kind of foreign the supremacy of foreign affairs, that's uniquely the president's bailiwick and that he doesn't have to turn that over to Congress. You could assert all kinds of privileges, and this administration knows how to do this. And would you turn this over? I would not turn this over. I would not have turned this over because you've already created a firestorm in this sense. Number one, the Ukrainian former comedian who played president, who's now president, is saying his assistant already talked to Rudy Giuliani. Rudy Giuliani is a personal lawyer for the president, is no longer employed in government. What the hell is he doing talking to the assistant of the comedian who's now president?
Well, obviously, Jay Sekulow and Giuliani and these attorneys for the president, they vetted this.
And the other one that I don't get is they're talking about go see Barr, go see Barr, go see Barr. And why is Bill Barr, And Bill, and so it's being reported this morning that the Attorney General didn't know about this in advance. So that's another question. Why is Trump saying talk to Barr, Barr's going to investigate? So there's all kinds of.
All right, Jay Sekulow and Rudy Giuliani, they're not dumb. And they have a lot of experience.
At all.
And so.
And they're coming on the heels of what they think. Mind you, this is the day after Mueller testified. In fact, in the transcript, Trump's mocking Mueller's testimony.
Right. So you're sitting in the room, just the three of you.
Right.
And you're all representing the president. And for some reason, they're saying we should release the transcript.
Right.
And so, you are saying what?
I'm saying I don't know that that's a good idea. And probably what's being argued back at me is, no, you don't understand. We're playing three- or four-dimensional chess. We want to release this. There's nothing that they can do, that the Democratic House can do. We've got a Senate firewall, so we're never going to get convicted. They do impeachment inquiry on Ukraine. None of our base is going to give a shit about that. This is going to rile up the base that they're impeaching me. And if the economy goes south, I can blame it on that I'm spending all of my time defending impeachment. Nobody cares about the Ukraine. Nobody's going to get into the weeds. And guess what? It's also going to get, at a certain point, the media is going to have to focus on Joe Biden and Joe Biden's role in this. And once they do that, then Biden's going to go down in the polls. Elizabeth Warren's going to go up. And that's my dream. I get to run against Elizabeth Warren.
That all sounds super accurate to me. And also, but they, you know, they're just the Democrats are on the heels. And so with Trump and company are just on the heels of taking the Steele dossier and the Mueller report and sort of flipping the script. So we've been talking about that for a year and a half.
Where exactly.
Now they're going after some of the players that were going after them. This is sort of a micro version of that, which is that you got Biden, his son Hunter, I think,
right,
and the Ukraine. And so what starts off is an offensive move by the Democrats might turn into a defensive move when they're trying to defend
and so
Biden.
What people understand is that there was a prosecutor in the Ukraine who, depending on which ox is getting gored, either was going after corruption or was not going after corruption. The Democrats and Biden would say this guy was turning a blind eye to corruption and we wanted him out of there. And there was a universal uproar about getting this prosecutor, I forget his name, out of there. The other side will say, no, that prosecutor was rooting out corruption. One of the places he wanted to root out corruption was this gas or energy company that Hunter Biden was on the board of directors of. The problem is, if you get into the weeds, there's a timeline problem, and there is a conflation of Hunter Biden doesn't get on the board of directors until after the getting or the effort to get rid of the prosecutor, but that's going to be lost. That's for guys like
The problem for Biden is there's a press conference where he's talking about giving money and freeing up money for the Ukraine, but he's not going to do it until this prosecutor's gone. And the guy sort of tried, he said, call my bluff. And, you know, he said, I talked to Obama and he says, you're not getting the money until you fire this guy. So he's sort of gloating that he got this guy fired so they could get money, which, of course, doesn't look great. But I don't know if the time, you said the timeline.
The timeline may not, but it doesn't matter because Trump doesn't care about that or
right.
People don't. They're looking, you know, he looks for the images. So he's got somebody saying this. They say, oh, you want to go in and play in this sandbox. I think there's almost like a baiting going on here. Mm. Oh, you want, and they figure if Biden gets in here, Biden to them, I was just having this argument with somebody this morning. I said, Democrats assume that Biden is going to be the candidate, so to speak. Trump doesn't want to run against Biden. He wants to mortally wound Biden so somebody else will get nominated. He understands the electoral math. And the electoral math is, in my humble opinion, Trump can't win the popular vote. However, it doesn't matter because the electoral math is such that unless somebody picks off one of five, potentially six states, that Trump gets reelected. So what's the best way to get reelected? Take out the guy, the one guy who can beat you in one of the five or six states. And this is it. It's amazing. And by the way, when did Ukraine become the center of the American universe? I mean, Uranium One, Ukraine, Biden, Trump, the president, or the comedian slash entertainer president, all here. And then against the backdrop of kind of this proxy war with Russia, which makes your head even spin more.
So he starts off by congratulating one another. Then they sort of get into thanks for doing so much for the Ukraine. And then, you know, Trump does the, you should ask Germany and the UN to do more because we do more than them.
Right.
And they kind of throw Germany under the bus, although they could take being thrown under the bus a few more times.
Angela Merkel does not look good in this transcript, by the way. Angela looks like she's just, you know, lights are on in nobody's home.
But the part that you would find, so obviously there's five pages there, and a lot of it is congratulations, thank you very much. What are the few paragraphs that you would call problematic if you were defending, if this was your client and you were trying to defend?
The president
wants you to not release
it. Yeah, it says, good, because I heard you had a prosecutor who was very good and he was shut down. Really unfair. A lot of people talking about that. Then it moves to Mr. Giuliani is a highly respected man. He was the mayor of New York City. Great mayor. I would like him to call you. I will ask him to call you along with the attorney general. Rudy very much knows what's happening, and he's a very capable guy. If you could speak to him, that would be great. That's the first problematic thing. Number two, the former, and this is the president talking, the former ambassador from the United States, the woman, was bad news. And people she was dealing with in Ukraine were bad news. So I want to let you just know that. Okay, that's number two, because this is the ambassador. And then number three, the other thing, there's a lot of talk about Biden's son, that Biden stopped the prosecution, and a lot of people want to find out about that. So whatever you can do with the attorney general would be great. Biden went around bragging that he stopped the prosecution. So if you can look into that, it sounds horrible to me. You're asking a president of a foreign country to look into your presumed political opponent.
Right.
That would be a major problem if I'm defending this client. And I'd say, I really don't think I want that out there. And the other thing is, this is only the collaborative results of three people listening. The IG whistleblowers report is very interesting to me too, and that hasn't landed yet, and I don't know if it will by the time this show airs. But that, my guess is, and this is just an educated guess, is that that puts this in context of something else that was happening. And what the other thing that supposedly was happening is that the money, our foreign aid to the Ukraine, was being held up. And that's $1 zillion. And the problem is that when you're holding up that money, the people who are probably complaining about it, given my experience with defense contractors and those kinds of things, is they're probably screaming bloody murder. You know, it's been 90 days. Where's the money? We going to get paid. We're not getting paid. They said, so there's a problem in the pipeline, blah, blah, blah. If the IG report says that prior to this phone call, money had been held up and there's a complaint about the money being held up, then that's where the Democrats are going to go. That's kind of their there'll be a heat-seeking missile, and they want that IG report because the IG report will supposedly put it into context. But the fact is that this call itself, where he's saying, look into Biden. If I'm a defense lawyer, which I am, I don't just play one on TV, that would give me great pause about turning this over.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you speculate for a second. Why? Well, I read the portion that I feel is problematic. Would you, do you have a way or a reason that you would put it out there? because you know what's going to get out there?
I would say that what you just read was a 7. If you don't put it out there, it'll just be made into a 9 minus the actual words. It'll be an admission of guilt by not releasing it. They'll say and they'll speculate. And probably because the media is all in on the speculation and Russia and everything else as well, they'll just go into wild speculation and innuendo and everything else. And it'll actually probably go down as, I bet whatever's in that, because it's not being released, is far worse than what you just read.
Still pretty bad. Still pretty bad.
Gary's got a thought.
I agree with everything Adam said. I would only go further and to say that, let's say that we have decided as the Trump administration this is a 7 and not releasing it as a 9. There might also be a, if you release it, you know the Democrats are going to turn it into a 12, but your base isn't going to care. And if we recall from the first election of Trump, their rallying cry was no collusion, no collusion. I heard somebody say, and I think that this was a smart point, that no quid pro quo could end up being that no collusion for this election.
Well, it's clear to me, at least, that the Democrats are going to argue that the quid pro quo was the holding up of the aid. You want your aid, you investigate Biden.
There's a funny tape, by the way, of our own Adam Schiff being called by Russian comedians. I don't know if you've ever heard that one.
I haven't heard that one. I heard about it, but I haven't listened to it.
There's a funny one of him getting on the phone with a couple. I don't know.
Is Yakov Smirnov still alive?
Oh, yes.
Yes? Well, how come he hasn't made a comeback during all of this? Or have I not been paying attention?
He never went anywhere.
Last time I was at the Comedy Store a week and a half ago, he was going up after me.
Was he good?
So either we're both losers.
But wait, is he good?
You know what?
You didn't watch.
I didn't. I finished my set and I went home. I did not stick around.
Speaking of comedians, can I just do a segue? Because I watched Dave Chappelle's Sticks and Stones. Have you seen
good.
That?
Yes.
Okay. Aren't those all my clients?
Yes. And he's talking about all your clients.
He's talking about all my clients. He starts off with, I sat there and I said, what the hell is going on? I mean, starting from Chris Brown, he takes an oldie but goodie, moves into Michael Jackson. And then it took me, I'm going to concede, it took me 45 seconds to understand, this is how slow I was or how drunk on tequila I was when I watched it, to understand the last one. Jussie Smollett, the Parisian actor. It took me 45 seconds to catch that one.
Well, again, I'm fond of saying this sometimes in semi-negative situations. You know you've arrived. You know you've arrived. Every single person he discussed was your client.
And I have to admit, and Jesse will be very upset, the Jesse bit was funny. Jesse, I'm not deprecating you. I'm your biggest fan and believer and advocate, but that was a funny bit.
Yakov Smirnov is a sweet, sweet man.
Right. I always liked him a lot.
And very patriotic and probably, I don't know if you want to call him conservative, but sort of old-fashioned.
Right.
He knows what it's – by the way, he knows what communism is really like. Not Bernie Sanders' version of communism, the real version of communism, which Bernie Sanders' version of communism will turn into almost immediately. He's lived that. He lived it. It was his world. And he understands what a horrible idea that is. And he came to this country to get as far away from that as he possibly could. And when he hears idiots like Bernie Sanders talking about communism light, He throws up into his oversized Russian boot because he understands where that's going and why that's a horrible idea.
That's why I would have thought he would have the last couple of years would have blown him up, so to speak. And I apologize if he is. I'm not trying to denigrate him. I'm just saying he's not in my world.
He's a little. You have to understand that if you're a comedian and you're right leaning, you're not going to get blown up.
Yeah, well, look what happened to Tim Allen.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a comedian and you're right leaning, you don't get blown up. That's kind of how it goes. Gary, do you have that tape?
We've got some of it. The one that I found has some music underneath it that's a little distracting. Kalen may have something a little better. I don't know if it's best, but we can play some of it.
It's funny because it's Russians and it's comedians, and it's going the other direction this time.
She got compromising materials on Trump after their short relations.
Okay. And what's the nature of the compromise?
Well, there were pictures of naked Trump.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so Putin was made aware of the availability of the compromising material?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. We will be back in touch with you through our staff to make arrangements to obtain these materials for our committee and for the FBI. And I appreciate your reaching out to us.
All right.
Yeah, good. See, Adam did it appropriately. I'll give you that. He doesn't know whether it's a joke or not. I mean, sometimes, you know, my new thing now is when somebody says they're calling for, and I have no idea whether it's legit or not, if they get through.
They're calling for what? Someone you've heard of?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you don't know.
I don't know. You never know. I mean, every time, this is part of the world we live in right now. Every time there's some case that we have at the office that hits the news, I will give you 1,000 examples. We get what I call the psycho brigade. I mean, they inundate the website and they call the office and they've got this information or they got that information. And, you know, the problem is you can't dismiss all of it because 1 out of 100 times it turns out to be legit.
Oh, I know. Every single story about every single actor making whatever, they tell the story. Like I get a call. And the guy on the other line said it was Steven Spielberg. And I yelled, get the fuck out of here, and hung up on him and went back to cleaning carpets. And then they called back again, you know, because that's the way the story goes. I want to tease up something for you. I want to know, speaking of where you work, I've been seeing some of your crazy homeless videos.
Oh, my God. Yours? Did you see how many retweets yours got? We'll set it up for after the ad.
Also, last time we spoke, you said there was a situation that may come to light, but it didn't evidently blow up to light.
It is not. And I'll explain why so far, although I won't get into too much detail. But we don't have enough time today, do we?
And I'm trying to think, what's your – and then, God.
By the way, Gary, do you have that picture I took in the alley yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
Could you put that up after the ad? Adam to see this so I can set this up.
All right. Let me hit NetSuite by Oracle. The problem of growing businesses is the hodgepodge of business systems, one for accounting, another for sales, another for inventory. It's a mess. NetSuite by Oracle, management software that handles all aspects of your business and easy-to-use cloud platform. Save time and money and headaches managing sales, finance, accounting, orders, HR instantly and right from your desktop or your phone. The world's number one cloud system. And right now, NetSuite is offering valuable insights with a free guide, 7 key strategies to grow your profits at netsuite.com/doubt. That's netsuite.com/doubt to download your free guide, 7 key strategies to grow your profits at netsuite.com/doubt. All right. So you were taking video from essentially your office?
Yeah, it was from the back of engine company looks down into Lebanon Alley.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I'm going to show a picture from this morning to Gary. I just sent it over to him. Do you have the video? There it is.
Well, there's the video.
Yeah. There's the
one
video.
One guy shooting up.
Shooting up.
Sitting on a curb.
Red curb. Another guy shooting up. This is literally from the office. I think it's from Greg's office.
Yeah.
Kirikos's office. Okay.
Just regular weekday.
Yeah. That's it. It's an office day. Guy shooting up in the... So I posted it, and it went viral. But you got infinitely more retweets. You got thousands or over 1,000. Because you know what Adam said in this? Do you remember this, Gary?
If the guy was sitting in the red zone, they would be ticketing him.
Yeah, if the guy was in a car in the red zone, they'd come over and ticket him. But if you're just shooting up in the red zone.
Insanely true.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. Yesterday, Gary, do you have the picture I just sent? Is there any way to put this up? Yeah, this, I come out, that's Lebanon Alley. Uh-huh. I come out of the building. This, you can't really tell. This guy's pants are all the way down at his ankles. In his left hand is shit, because he's just shit into his hand with that little paper. And he was standing by the back door. And when I opened the door, the guy's sitting there with shit in his hand. And I said, dude, really? It's in the middle of the day. And then he follows me down the alley as I'm going to the gym. And I said, dude, I'm not cleaning up your shit. It's
right.
Literally. Do you have the next picture?
There's a man, a black man.
You texted
man
me a picture just now?
Pants, yeah, I just texted you one.
It hasn't come through yet. Are you sure you sent it to me?
Oh. Pants around his ankles holding shit.
Holding shit in his hand.
I just feel like we pay enough in taxes that this could be something that... I was yelling at it, Drew? What I was yelling at Drew.
I haven't talked to Drew recently about this. What?
Apoplectic.
Okay, good.
Here's the deal. ACLU or homeless advocates.
First off,
you don't get to just announce you're a homeless advocate and then do all the fucking worst things you could possibly do for homeless people and especially the citizens.
Time out. Yesterday, city council, they're having a meeting as to whether to ban sleeping on the sidewalks. I mean, you have to have a meeting about this? Some self-styled homeless advocate who's homeless himself just starts screaming in the chambers. We've lost our minds.
Look, everybody. The college campuses, when the kids take over the cafeteria and the dean's office and the dean tells the cops to back down and everyone to go home and they just take over the campus for 3 days, this is what fire hoses and German shepherds are for. Do you under-fucking-stand? Break it up. They're lunatics. They've taken over the fucking asylum.
There was a serious conversation. I read the transcript because I was just mesmerized as to how insane we've become. The conversation was, well, if we ban sleeping on the sidewalks, maybe the controversy is we'll let people sleep on the sidewalks, but not within 6 feet of a doorway and not within 100 feet of a school.
Right.
I mean, this is a serious conversation. And then Mike Feuer, our city attorney, who's just abdicated all responsibility. There's 300 lawyers in the city attorney's office who are prosecuting marijuana offenses in the East L.A. courthouse for legitimate people who pay their taxes. The city attorneys are doing that. Yet Mike Feuer says, well, if we ban sleeping on the sidewalk outside, by the way, there's vagrancy and loitering laws. If we do that, we'll get sued. Well, what are your 300 lawyers doing besides trashing taxpaying cannabis collectives?
It's insane.
I don't even understand where we are. What universe is this? There isn't talk about every single kind of ism. This wouldn't be allowed in socialism. It wouldn't be allowed, certainly wouldn't be allowed in totalitarianism. Why is it allowed in capitalism? I don't understand. Where are we that we're having an argument that we don't want to enact something because we're going to get sued? Then, okay, if you're worried about getting sued and you don't want to litigate issues like, then I'm going to just stop paying property taxes. All of us are going to stop paying property taxes because they're not doing what they're doing. What if all of a sudden I just say, I'm not going to, no, property taxes? No, you've abdicated your role. You've got 300 lawyers. Why do you have 300 fucking lawyers?
Well, listen, we got to get Joe Biden elected. And I'll tell you why. Because the last time they had a debate, he announced he wants nobody in prison who didn't commit a violent crime. And last time I checked, not paying taxes is a nonviolent crime. So, Mark, you and I could just not pay our taxes.
No, just not pay taxes anymore and just say, when somebody says, why? What? Why would I pay taxes? They don't want to get sued. I don't want to perpetuate this waste of money by the city attorney. So why would I pay the city of LA taxes? And by the way, the sleep on the sidewalks. You know what I'm going to do next? I'm just going to take over my sidewalk. If they can sleep on the sidewalk, I'm going to go in front of the engine company and I'm going to go in the Lebanon Alley. I'm just going to take it over. I'm going to build a barrier on a Saturday. I'll put the homeless to work building. I'll pay them a living wage and I'll build a wall. And when they say you can't do that, there's a fire department. I said the fire department doesn't come down here. Forget it. I mean, what are we talking about? It's an exemption? You can sleep on the sidewalk, but not 6 feet from a door or 100
yards. By the way, what do you think that junkie's going to do? Pull out a tape measure and lay it out on the ground and take some a construction crayon and mark it down on the thing? Or you think he's going to pace it off?
I'm going to tell him, look. I got to see this needle here.
That's right.
Full of K. So just wait, get over there and do some brick and mortar.
the school. And also, look.
There you go. This
feet,
is this morning. Here you go.
Oh, wait a minute.
This.
All right, we're looking at another gentleman of color who's wearing an orange shirt who appears to have, I don't know, what is it? Describe the picture for us.
I can't even figure out picture, what it is.
It looks like there is a large amount of items in his shirt that is so full that I at first thought this was a woman.
Right.
Right.
But do you know what? Too bad I don't have sound, because the sound emanating, the best I can characterize it is all the way down the street. That's my morning. That's my morning. Now, I have a question. Everybody's got their right to do whatever the hell they want. But my question is obviously this is a person in distress. I mean, is there any, do you take one look?
Yes.
If you're a officer, the mother of the officer hasn't been born, that is improbable cause for a 5150. Why not get that person help? Why is it that letting that person wander around like in that distress on the sidewalk, how is that protecting their civil rights?
We have taken a shift toward a more feminine way of policing and governing and everything else. And there's this sort of notion of discipline and law enforcement is somehow being mean or cruel, when in fact, it's what the people need. And it also, the version of, you know, don't ask, don't tell, just perpetuates everything. You just get more homeless. Like, leave them alone, that just means more homeless. Don't bust them, that trash, that's their right. I saw building going on when I was driving through Hollywood. I was going through Silver Lake the other day. Under the overpass in Silver Lake, guy had a piece of plywood up. Like, they're literally building. Now they're not pitching tents anymore.
No.
These are permanent structures.
Exactly. That's why I said if that is the current state, I'm taking over. I'm just going to take over Lebanon Alley. I'm going to turn it into Yerevan Alley, and I'm going to just rename it. I'm going to just say Armenia is going to take over Lebanon, and I'm going to take it over, and then I'm going to move into the sidewalk in the front of the building, because apparently if you can sleep on the sidewalk and I'm paying taxes, I'm going to take part of the sidewalk.
Well, getting back to our old friend Rudy Giuliani, we're going to need some tough love in this town. I mean, we're going to need basically Arlie Ermey's ghost to come back and essentially take over this goddamn town. This sort of, you know, Mayor Yoga Pants ain't getting it done with good vibes.
Okay.
Good vibes just lead to more and more and more of this.
It's just this idea of trying to placate the crazies. Somebody should go back and watch One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. That's what you get. You can't, apologies to Mia. She's going to excoriate me for this, but. St. John. She gets mad every time she listens. She's an avid listener, and every time I say something like the crazy, she goes wild. But Mia, that's not what I mean. It's an affectionate name. As you know, I love the homeless that are around me, but we're not helping them. This is not helping. Dr. Alien has disintegrated to a point in the back where it makes me sick to my stomach when I see him. But what can I do? I can't do anything with him. I mean, Thursday Guy is unbelievable at this point. Thursday Guy has just circled the bend and nobody does anything.
Well, look, the same people that are going ballistic over the kids detained at the border with air conditioning, with facilities, with clothing, with blankets, with an environment where they can watch some TV, with getting three hots in a cot. The same people that are apoplectic about those living conditions are letting these people bleed out in the street. What kind of consistency is that?
I don't understand why I'm sitting here trying to run businesses, trying to pay taxes at what I consider ground zero of downtown L.A., Wilshire and Figueroa. Are there two more prominent streets in the urban corridor than Wilshire and Figueroa? And yesterday, there's another picture, I didn't send it to Gary, where there is a guy who's taken over the bus bench. I mean, literally, the bus bench is his house. Right on the corner of 7th and Figueroa. And I had a picture, and it's probably on my iPad. where there's two cops standing literally 25 feet away.
Sure.
25 feet away. And this guy's just taking over the bus bench, taking it over.
They're probably writing tickets to someone who's doing 39
and 35. They're writing tickets for fare evasion in the metro down below
right.
at the end of the escalator.
Right.
The fare evasion
Listen,
is a problem.
Listen, I am telling you, Mark, I knew we had jumped the shark. And by the way, the lunatics haven't taken over the asylum. I wish it was an asylum. They've taken over the fucking city that we live in. If it was an asylum, that'd be fine because me and my kids don't live in the asylum
and right.
pay taxes on the asylum. I've said this story before, but it's so ingrained in my mind. I went on a boat trip for a day trip to Catalina with the guy who runs the Staples Center. He's just the guy in charge.
Right. And the successor to Tim Leiwicki.
I said to the guy, I said, you know, last time me and my son watched a Laker game or an event at the Staples Center, I walked out of the side door and I almost tripped over a guy with a propane tank cooking ghetto dogs. I said, that guy wasn't in the street. That guy was on your property. He said, oh, Jesus Christ. He pulled his phone out as fast as he could pull it out because he's like you. Shows me a picture of a giant cockroach frying on the grill
right.
of one of those things. He said, Adam, they're all over the place. There's nothing we can do about it. I had one of my guys take
right.
this picture. I said, what do you mean nothing you can do about it? Go down to the city council. Tell them to get the fuck off your sidewalk.
Now,
this is your property.
They're too busy.
He said, I'm scared.
Yeah.
He said, I don't want to get into trouble.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into trouble. I said, what do you mean, what trouble? This is the Staples Center.
We have, in Los Angeles.
He doesn't want to get into trouble.
Because we've surrendered all sanity. I'm telling you, Gary, we have to, for next week, get part of this LA City Council meeting. You have to. The transcript does not do it justice to the insanity that was going on. And these people with straight faces going, there's a U.S. Supreme Court case. Yeah, dude, I read the U.S. Supreme Court case. It doesn't hold what you say it holds. And if that's what you think it says, then you need to get a second opinion because you obviously are not reading the same U.S. Supreme Court case I'm reading.
All right, here's what we need. We need to get the DNA of Giuliani, Daryl Gates, Judge Apayu, whatever over there in New Mexico.
that Sheriff Joe.
But Joe and Arlie Ermey. And we need to go to the lab where they did Jurassic Park and we need to create the great enforcer.
Right. But then all you got to do is they don't have to make them fucking psycho. There's what I've always said. Just because somebody comes up with something like, and I think it was, to give him credit, I think it was Bill Bratton, who at one point was the LAPD guy.
Yeah, the Bostonian guy.
And Bratton, I think when he was in New York, came up with broken windows. And broken windows has a place, and it is a great theory. That doesn't mean at the same time you have to profile people. I mean, nobody's talking about profiling. I mean, it's always gets swept with the same brush. There's a way to take all of the good stuff of a broken windows theory, all of the good. I mean, I don't look at, in fact, you can't even tell. I mean, the difference between Alien or the guy with the pants at his ankles or Thursday guy, I don't know what ethnicity Thursday guy is. These are guys in distress in the streets, okay? And it does not require that orange phony boob guy. It does not require profiling or anything else. You take one look and it's the guy screaming at the top of his lungs, gibberish, you understand this is somebody in distress. So there's something you can do with that.
Well, I think there's this notion, broken windows and profiling and all that kind of stuff. It's this proclamation that is newish and it's insane. Their whole thing is if one person is unfairly stopped and frisked or asked questions, then it's all out the window.
Window, right.
And my feeling is like, no, it's not. That's bound to happen if you're going to do this. Whatever the community, if you're going to start asking people where they're going and how come they're out so late and what's in their pocket, this is going to happen. And as a citizen, just like we tolerate going through a metal detector at an airport. We all understand.
By the way, the courthouse. Every courthouse.
Right.
I went through a metal detector five times,
okay.
Six times.
Okay. Are you a criminal?
Yeah.
Did you do anything wrong? Why are you being stopped and asked to empty your pockets?
I can't even show my criminal courts bar card and get through.
Right. Empty your pockets into the dog dish. Push it through the thing. Take your belt off. Try it again through the courthouse. Okay. I just got off back from Kentucky. I stood in a long line. I took my shoes off. I understand. It is something that is agreed upon when you live in a society, which is, look, you're not a criminal and you're not a terrorist and you're not going to take the plane down. But how would anyone really know who's who? And with that in mind, moving forward, then there's a dude walking around at 2 a.m. on a weeknight. Then the cop gets to ask him where he's heading or what his business is. And he might say, I'm walking my dog. I live up the street. And the cop may say, fine, sorry. Or he may be up to something. I don't know. But when you live in a society, that is an agreement you enter into, whether it's the airport or walking around the street.
Used to, when we did the bar exam, they used to have kind of an acronym for where your Fourth Amendment rights get somewhat suspended or whether it, and one of them was the border, obviously. Another one is an airport. You go through. Fourth Amendment is the right to be free from unreasonable search and seizure.
Right.
And by the way, the exclusionary rule, which I'm a big proponent of, was originally, going to another diatribe on this, the exclusionary rule was a judicially fashioned rule that would say if a cop in bad faith is what it evolved to, had or without a good faith belief, had executed this, that we're going to exclude that evidence as kind of a punishment. Then there was a movement, the kind of counterbalance to that was, well, maybe that's too drastic. You can just sue after the
right.
fact if whatever. And then that's been in the 1983 qualified immunity has basically gutted that. There has to be some way, some remedy. I'm a
proponent. Well, also, of that. Can we agree on this? Airport security was nothing, and then airport security was something, and then there was 9/11, and then they jacked it way up after 9/11.
And so, since then, we've had clear
right.
and pre-check.
Right. So what I'm saying is in terms of the homeless in Los Angeles, we're now post 9/11 times. We're essentially saying we're now at catastrophe. We're set for catastrophe. So the cops and whomever should be granted this ability to go sort of beyond what they normally might do until we get from catastrophe back to Tuesday. Just sort of it's now an epidemic. It's literally bubonic plague. We're at plague status now. Why not call it? I mean, let's just say what I'm saying is there's different protocols. You know, on 9/12, the airport wasn't the same as 9/10. You know, it was different. There was more protocol. Things were locked down. There were the guards, you know, and Marines.
Why
not do that with LA?
Because one of the grounds, and this is what bugs me about the we don't want to get sued crowd. What, there's only three or four basic tenets for government. Government is to provide infrastructure. It's to enforce the social contract. And it's to protect you from, you know, if it's the federal government, from foreign invasion. If it's local government, you know, and federal government, from communicable diseases and things like that. They're supposed to those are the core functions. Talk to Drew, who is, I think you and I can both agree, one of the most thoughtful medical people around. Drew is you used the term apoplectic. I'd say that's like low key for how he is right now. You don't think so?
He's
I've never seen
he's
him
out
this
of
worked
his mind.
Out. I know. Although, I was going to say
you're nuts too.
I know, but 45 years I've known Drew. I've never
seen
him
never
this
seen
passionate
him that jacked
about
up.
That.
Well,
I've never seen
point.
Him this jacked up.
This is like Gandhi screaming out cocksucker from the from a moving car. Like that's you're surprised. You it's your Joey Buttafuoco. That's every day for you.
Drew,
it's
I've
surprising.
Never seen him like this.
He's out of his mind.
Yeah.
There's nobody who's yelling more about this than you, me, and Drew.
Yes. And this is what I don't understand. The government always there's various levels to which you scrutinize a statute. Because this is what the LA City Council, they're looking at statutes. So there's various levels. They're talking about the U.S. Supreme Court. Well, one of the is strict scrutiny, and then it goes down from there. Well, one of the kind of basic fallbacks for statutory analysis and whether it's constitutional is whether there's a counterbalance, whether there's something that is compelling that the government is trying to do. Is there anything more compelling than trying to stop the proliferation of communicable diseases? Isn't that the most – isn't health and welfare the basic tenet of a government?
I would argue before school systems and bridges, disease spread is probably well above all of those.
Right. And what happens every time – what was the last communicable disease – the Ebola. Remember
right.
The Ebola? And we were shutting down, quarantining people, putting them in that. Do you remember
yes,
this?
I mean, yes.
If for Ebola, which, by the way, is not even as much of a threat as the typhus downtown, and yet we're willing to suspend all constitutional rights to and make sure that we protect the health and welfare of people. It takes on years. Why aren't there some measures, at least try to do something instead of just bending over?
We'll go out on a happy joke, which is a joke from the Comedy Central Alec Baldwin roast of mine that got cut. Was Robert De Niro, he loves the black ladies. He loves black chicks. As a matter of fact, Robert De Niro's been in more black women than the Ebola virus.
Oh, my God.
They cut it. The cowards cut it. Yeah. All right.
But they let, what's her name, call him Alf.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was kind of, you know, that's you could make an argument that was offensive, right?
This Thursday, the 3rd, coming up, West Palm Beach Improv. We're doing a live podcast there, so come on out. And I'm doing stand-up everywhere, so just go to adamcarolla.com and check out Chassis. Two S's and a Y for all the docs and what else. And what do you got, Mark?
I've got Capri Southampton is still open for business. Go by there. V Palm Springs is really hopping. Gary's favorite, Casa Tropicana in St. Clemente. Engine Company 28 downtown and at the airport on 10E downtown, and Prova Pizzeria in Grand Central Terminal and Times Square at the Moxie Hotel.
And check out Court Junkie on Podcast One for all you folks that love all the true crime pods. This is a good one on Podcast One. Until next time, Adam Carolla for Mark Garagos saying mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Carolla Digital.